Good morning, everyone.
Can't you sense the Spirit's presence here this morning? Oh, it is so sweet. It is sweet to just know that the Lord is here. You know, the Lord, while Dan was giving that interpretation, and you know, all of us go through times when we feel like we're walking alone. The beginning of our statement and this song that we said has to do with God's presence. God, Jesus himself said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is inside of us. And you know what dwells us up? She said it in the beginning of her interpretation. It is in the presence of praise that God's Spirit inhabits our praise. When you feel like you're alone, start praising God. Not because your circumstances are good, because he is good. There's what brings joy. There's what brings peace to our life. Jesus and Jesus alone. So when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling down, praise him. Praise him. Watch what God will do, because there's no one like Jehovah. Amen. Hallelujah. A few announcements this morning here. Trunk or Treat coming up quick on the 10th. Which is next week, correct? The 10th is a trunk or treat meeting today. No, yes, today. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same track I am on. I'm thinking of 8 because my wife went into the hospital the 8th and I'm stuck on 8. So sorry, forgive me. But today, after the service here, there will be a meeting for those that want to help out on the trunk or treat. So those of you that God has moved in the Spirit to participate, please join this meeting. Get some information. Trunk or Treat will be on the 20th of October. That's 2 Wednesdays from now. So sign up. See Rhonda if you have questions, and she'll help you. There's also candy that is still needed or snacks to be able to provide. I see the table is getting a good donation, but continue to give up to the 17th, it says here. So praise God. Also, donations for our community baskets to help those out for Thanksgiving. Those that wish to donate, you can see Norma Scrivens. She'll help you with if you want to buy some food or if you just want to donate monetarily. The final day, she says, is the 21st to give out. So also, gift baskets and the bazaar is coming up soon. Great time to be able to fellowship and be able to minister to those in our families, in our community. And it benefits actually the girls' ministry that the women's ministry ministers to. New Life for Girls, right? Am I right? That's my mind all over the place. But praise God. I don't want to read that because I'm not sure. Pastor, can I ask you, is the Thanksgiving on or it is not? An update, a community dinner for Thanksgiving as of now has been canceled because of the kitchen. We're updating and it's going a little slow, but we're slowly getting it. We got the floor waxed, so next we'll be putting the trim and doing some stuff to the ceiling and finish some painting. And we're just looking to get that finished here. We're not sure if it's going to be done, though. But we're pushing on. Pray for us. We're getting that done. But as of now, Thanksgiving is canceled for the community banquet. Also, want to let you know that Women's Ministry on November 5th is having their annual progressive dinner. Sign up or see Karen Webb so that she can prepare for that. Also, Men's Ministry on October 23rd will be having a skeet shoot. Those who wish to participate on that, come and see me. It'll be a great time of fellowship and humbleness. So we just... So it is a blessing to come. Also, I would like to announce that anyone that wants to participate in the Christmas play that Karen will be putting on has to do with Christmas shoes. Could you please see her? She needs individuals to help participate in this to make it work out the way God has planned. So those that are interested, I encourage you to see Karen. She always has a great play. So with that, I'm going to let us welcome the pastor as he comes forward.
Thank you, Harry. Welcome to English 101. Oh, yes. We welcome our home church, welcome our phone church, and we welcome our live stream. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Therefore also now, say the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knows if he will turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet at Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today. And Father, we just pray your touch upon everyone, Lord, that hears this message. Would you bless them? Would you touch them? And would you help them, Lord God, we pray. Thanking you, Lord God, that that your word is so powerful and it's real and it's true. And Father, we just pray right now that you will continue to touch hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at a trumpet in Zion. You see, the judgment of the locusts was typical of the great day of judgment. You see, the violent or even the destructive acts were designed to bring the people to repentance. The judgment was mixed with mercy, and at this time of painful judgment, God, by the prophet Joel, called upon the people to return and also to repent, to fast, as we read, and weep, to grieve inwardly and mourn outwardly for sin. He also instructs them how to engage in the duty of humiliation correctly and acceptably. The humiliation was to be that of the heart, other known as the sorrow of the heart for the sins by which they had offered God. Genuine sorrow and shame for sin were to be accompanied by fasting and also by tears of remorse. Where there is real repentance, remorse of spirit because of sin, outward manifestations are both suitable here and proper, though not by way of display or for the sake of display or for the sake of showiness. This is truly, I believe, a tale of two nations here in Joel. One existed about 2,500 years ago. The other is, of course, our civilization today. You see, our story here in Joel begins in a land at the eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea. The road that led from Joppa to Jerusalem was seldom traveled anymore at this time. For nearly four devastating years, the people of the southern kingdom of Judah had avoided being out of doors except for just necessity. One never knew what laid around the next corner or was laid in the outline of the dead trees. You see, the lone figure on the road had no such fears at all. But he too, usually at this time, would avoid this area. One man said this, "You see, Joel could remember the happy years in Judea. He was taught of the golden era of the great kings, of King David and Saul. Joel had began a descending into the valley, which would soon lead him to his home, a few miles northwest of Jerusalem," if you can get that picture. Here was a place that brought some historical thoughts, very much a lot of history here. And as he looked across the barren valley, this area, think about the of Joel here looking across the valley. It was in this valley that Joshua had commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. You say that can't happen. Read your Bible, it can. God can do anything, right? While he destroyed the Amorite kings in defense of the Gibeonites. Hard to tell what's going to come up there when you say Gibeonites. Oh, wow, we got a miracle. Joshua had chased the five kings and, of course, their soldiers over this very pass to Beth Horon. B-E-T-H. B-E-T-H. H-O-R-U-N. Joel stopped to shake his head in amazement at that excellent victory that was there at that time. And years later, the Philistines fled along that very road after they had been defeated at Michmash. Did it come up mashed potatoes? See, this is something new we're started. This is great, isn't it? Even the kids get into it. It hardly seems we're trying to deal with our English and we're trying to deal with reading and understanding. 101. Next week will be 102. It hardly seemed possible that anything good had ever happened in this place of devastation. But Joel knew what had happened to change his nation's destiny. He could sum it all up. Think about this, church. He could sum it all up with one dreadful word: idolatry. His warnings, along with those of other men of God, had fallen upon unhearing ears, and they had approached the danger signals. The successful attacks and assaults of the invaders across the river, the ever-increasing economic difficulties at this time of this country, and the national morality, think about this, the system of right behavior, which had really become no morality at all. The divine judgment had begun 4 years earlier with the first sweep of the dreadful locusts. Wow. And these little miniature enemies traveled in clouds of millions, making their way across the victimized countryside, destroying, demolishing. First they were crawling, then they were leaping. Anything that lay in their pathway was devoured. Fields of wheat, fields of barley were destroyed. Vineyards, mulberry orchards were destroyed. Groves of olive, fig, and other trees stripped of every green blade and leaf. The very bark repeatedly was being consumed. And that's why the Romans had called these creatures the burners of the land. The burners of the land, which was exactly their name. You see, Joel frequently watched them move across the land. And even at a point, a time, that you couldn't even see the earth. Can you imagine that? We get fed up with stink bugs. What was those things in the summertime? That's it. Can you imagine at this very moment of what they were dealing with, these locusts? John the Baptist, later on, he ate them. But at this time, they weren't sanctified yet. Watching from the vantage point on a rocky hillside, Joel the prophet thought to himself how much the insects resembled a cloud of dust or sand rising several feet above the earth. Nothing could stop them. At night, they would pause on the vegetation. Until the next morning, they would eat their bed. Think about it. Then they would devour, of course, everything again another day. And when a wall or building was in the way, they climbed straight up and over it. And if there were open doors, if there were open windows, the locusts found the openings and caused havoc inside of the building. You see, when they came to the water, they never tried to turn away from it. They never did that. But the ones who got there first, they drowned. You know what happens when thousands and thousands of locusts drown? What does that do for the ones that are behind? That makes a bridge for those to get across. You see, soon enough, these dead locusts formed a bridge over the waters so that the remaining insects could continue to devour. Only a wind blowing the locusts into the sea could stop these 4 years of horror. Hatred, hostility, animosity. And many times the prophet Joel had prayed. Many times he had called out to God to delay judgment. But instead of answering his pleas, God had instructed the prophet to faithfully write what his eyes beheld. Go to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Hear this, you old men, and give ear all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell you your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the pumper worm has left, has the locust eaten, and that which the locust had left, has the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm has left, has the caterpillar eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has a cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. I want you to go and look at verses 19 and 20. O Lord, you will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also to you, for the rivers of waters are dried up. And the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. And then he comes in chapter 2 with a very powerful message of verse 1. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. Wow. Beginning the upward climb. And Joel smiled, and he said, blow a trumpet in Zion. Blow it indeed. There will never be an end to this bitterness. Never. No laughter will ring across this valley again at this time of Joel. Sorrow and, of course, deep distress overcame the old man so much that he dropped to his knees, the prophet did. And at the edge of the road, he cried out and he sobbed, which echoed across the heated, hot, sun-baked valley. Look at verse 17. It says this. The seed is rotten under their clods. The gardeners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. Wow. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. He comes in and says, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Church, I believe that's the kind of prayer that God answers. I believe that's the kind of prayer that God will intercede, a prayer that is desperate. Look at Joel's answer, starting with chapter 2, verse 23. Look what Joel said. This is his answer. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you, get this into your spirit, church, understand this, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the pumper worm, my great army, which I send among you. Wow. Wow. And so it was that the grief and the sadness of Judea was taken away. And once more, that land prospered and thrived. But there is more to the story. There's more to the prophecy than what we just looked at. There's more. That day on the road to Beth Horon, the prophet saw firsthand the fulfillment of the early part of the prophecy. Now we're at the second part of it. Hallelujah. But the ending part of it was for another time. It was for another place. One so far removed from what Joel was talking about there, that even Joel could not even comprehend it. He could not even understand it, church. It was a prophecy that was to be fulfilled in our generation. Hallelujah. Now that should set your fire on wood. Set your wood on, what did it say? Wood on fire. You see, the ending part of it was for another time, and it was for another place. Found in Joel chapter 2. Hold on to your seat. Joel chapter 2, for our generation. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Wow. Hallelujah. The first part of the prophecy regarding the material blessings followed immediately. A strong wind blew across the river and carried the locusts into the sea. It was indeed a miracle. It was miraculous, for the bodies of the dead insects had disappeared. They were gone. Not one of them was left. And God promised the prophet Joel an end to physical suffering. Wow. One of these days, we're going to know exactly what that is. And the locusts disappeared as strangely as they had appeared 4 years early. You may have to deal with this for 4 years. We can't even go a month or so. In a few months, the fields were green again. Soon, the barns were filled with the harvest that had been gathered. And the people were no longer ashamed. Had not God blown a trumpet in Zion, it's hard to tell what would have happened. But he did. The spiritual portion of Joel's prophecy took longer to be fulfilled. The prophet did not live to see the promise of the Holy Spirit, which was to be poured out upon all flesh according to what was prophesied here. The day of that promise began in Jerusalem. In the upper room, 120 disciples were gathered together as the Holy Spirit was being poured out. And they began a missionary work that would change the world, that reached to Wellsville, Pennsylvania. Which is still going on today. Glory. Their message began in Jerusalem and Judea. It carried into Samaria. Then throughout the Mediterranean, everywhere the message was taken, those who believed experienced new life. Wow. The locust is gone. Joel could not have known the vast implication of his prophecy when he was prophesying back then. We do. For before it was completely fulfilled, it reached into a land that would not be discovered for another 2,000 years. Joel was dead. There have been sporadic outpourings of the Holy Spirit around this world, church. There has been. So genuine has been the nature of these manifestations that it can truly be said, as Peter said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel in Acts 2 and verse 16. Read it. And the ancient prophet called for something. And he called for a trumpet to be blown in Zion. Glory, 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 glory. In nearly every land there have been movements that God has used as such a trumpet. We used to have one around here. The shofar. Oh, if I opened my eyes, I could see it. It was Christ. It was Jesus who said this. Ye shall be filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 1 and verse 8. And the call of the believer has been the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The need for repentance of sins. A daily walk with God, and the outcome is a life of joy and a life of peace. Hallelujah. You might be thinking here today, or by phone or live stream, what all this has to do with you today. I believe it has a lot to do with us. What possible message could a prophet who lived 2,500 years ago give to us today, right now? What prophet? What message? I believe it is this. Today there are people whose life has been eaten away by the locusts of hell. In their wildest nightmare, they could not have imagined they would end up the way that they have. Their every waking moment is a Twilight Zone experience. And they wish they were dead. Everything worthwhile, every person they loved, every possession they cherished, has been eaten away by the locusts and the worms of society. They have come to throw in the towel and resign themselves to forgetfulness. But we know, church, we know, we understand that that's not the answer. Just to throw in the towel. We know there is hope because Jesus will remove all the enemies. He will take away those things which would eat away everything worthwhile to you and I. And then, I believe with all my heart and all my soul, I believe that there is going to be a trumpet in Zion and it's going to sound. And I believe at that very moment, church, is going to be a day of rejoicing. Glory. You see, we might not be going through some great things right now, but the best is yet to come. The drought is over. And the trumpet is sounding. Aren't you so glad? Joel didn't see everything. He didn't understand probably even what he was saying. Or what was going on maybe at this time. But we understand. God has everything under control. Shall we bow our heads? Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your touch, Lord, that you give. And Lord, we here in this place, we here in this message might say, the locusts have eaten away and the drought is here. And I need a fresh touch from him. I need the locust to be taken that has been eating me up. And it could be anything, church. It could be anything. With every head bowed and dry clothes, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, I asked you, what has the locust taken? And what do you need God to replace? The trumpet is blown. And he will give new life. With every head bowed and eye closed, I ask you today, are you that one? And I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone? The locust has taken it. And I want it back. By the uplifted hand. The Lord sees. Yes. Yes, thank you. Father, all the locusts did was to destroy. They would eat what you provided. And Lord, dear friends in this place, and by phone or live stream have raised their hand. They say, I'm taking it back. But the devil stole from me. Not giving into the locusts anymore. Not giving into the works and the ways of Satan anymore. They're gone. Touch their hearts, Lord, I pray. Touch them, Lord, God, I ask. Let thy Holy Spirit move and minister to them. Lord God, I thank you for it, and I praise you. Lord, I believe they raised their hands, Lord God, in sincerity. And I believe, Lord God, they meant everything. And Father, I pray right now that you will touch them. Minister to them. Let thy Spirit Lord, as Joel prophesied in the last day, will be poured out upon us. And Lord, we want it to continue. We want your touch to continue. And Lord God, I pray right now that as Jesus is glorified, Jesus is magnified, and Jesus is lifted up, it will be done. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget our meeting over in the blue room. God bless you. Have a great day.